It is the 21st day of March, 2014. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures market and what happened in the trade for this Friday is Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Happy spring, Todd.
Hey, happy spring. Well, at least it feels like it today, but we cool down again.
Yeah, right on.
Well, that's the way it happens. Tell me about the marketplace today and for the week and what you saw, what you liked, and what surprised you.
I think for the day and for the week, probably the biggest question on most people's minds that called in was, did we mortally wound the bull and the bean market? And I would say technically no. I think the weekly chart damage was held to a minimum. We still closed higher on the week. We had a higher high and a higher low on lead month futures. Also, the July Nov bull spread was higher on the week, too. So I think if you're looking at it on a weekly basis, you did not hurt mortally the bull in the bean market. I think what you did do, though, was fundamentally take away most of the reason why you would want to try and break above that 1460 resistance and lead month. And this is a really big number to be watching now if you are sold out of your 13 beans and looking for a place to re-own. If you don't get a good solid price break in the next 30 days and come back in, this is kind of my mindset anyway, come back in around the middle of April to get some longs back in place for 13 beans on a correction. If I would take out that 1460 level or see that taken out, that would be a level that I would say on a weekly close that would open up the upside to the point where it's worth stepping in and maybe buying back 25 or 30% of your 13 beans. But that's what I think struck most of us this week, because you actually closed higher in the beans, both the July and the November. Wheat closed a little bit higher, but corn actually closed down. So if you take today away, the market was kind of on a path to take premium out of corn and put more premium in beans. And I think that was mostly due to the acreage report and the stocks report coming up, and then obviously the uncertainty about the demand side of the equation for old crop beans.
Yeah, certainly the acreage and stocks report will have an impact. People are looking forward to those. They're not next Monday, but the following one, released at 11 a.m. Central Time by USDA. Do you have your calculations done for them?
Yeah, I raised my corn acres about 200,000 to 92.6. million. I left my bean acreage number completely unchanged, and it was right there with USDA at 79.5. The survey, it's a smaller sample than someone like Doan's, who did 1,100 surveys. So keeping in mind it's a smaller sample, I think the biggest thing that I got back from the clients was that, yes, they're rotating out of corn to beans naturally. They are not, however, rotating out. In other words, they're not pushing their rotation or going outside their rotation in favor of beans, like we had talked about the months of January and February at a lot of your Outlook meetings. The conclusive evidence on this survey, at least, was I'm not going to go after beans. I'm going to go after the most gross revenue per acre. And after this recent market rally in December corn, if anything, if I go outside rotation, it's going to be to the corn if Mother Nature lets me. So that's why I bumped my corn acreage up a little bit. I actually have total acres at 257 million total for all spring and winter wheat acres, winter acres as well. And that is higher by about 1.5 million from last year, but it matches up nicely with 2012, 2013. And I did that because of the CRP issue and because of the prevent planting last year.
What are you going to be watching in the coming week?
Well, it's going to be mostly about pre-report positioning. I think you're going to see a lot of spread trading continue here. I think the trade will become a lot more conservative in nature in terms of how they go about this market heading into the following Monday's report. You'll probably also see the trade really look at the currency markets and the outside markets a lot more for guidance, and probably also really want the wheat market to perform. One thing that, you know, we talked about at the top of the show about it being the first day of spring and not really being warm that much, the models did turn a lot, both the European and the American this week, at the end of the week, to a warmer bias after the 29th, 30th, right around the report. And so if you would keep that warmer bias in the east of the Mississippi River, I think that would actually probably give a lot of reason for potential bulls in December corn to stay on the sidelines. So I think if those models stay warmer east of the Mississippi. That'll make a big difference next week in the corn trade especially.
And speaking of bulls, and I don't know whether I want to call them bulls, but let's just say when funds come in, they tend to be buyers, at least the first time around.
Right.
I think it was the commercials that took the other side of that in large part. Are the funds still active in this marketplace?
They are, but I think this goes back to the outside markets and the currencies. We have had, I think, 6 out of the last 7 weeks higher closes in wheat. 6 out of the last 8 weeks, I think it's been, or 6, maybe even 7 out of the last 8 weeks in corn. You've got a lot of length in there, Todd, and so you really are at a situation in the feed grains especially where you're probably at a situation where you need to feed the bull. And if you start to see the dollar firm up and you start to see bond yields firm up, I do think the funds will look at that. And in other words, if you see the yen start to lose against the U.S. dollar, I think those become market-moving issues in the grains because we've had this nice move up here going into the end of the month.
Will they liquidate in that case?
Yeah, I think they would. I think they will pare down. You know, the biggest thing that we have to worry about after this week, when you take a step away from the acreage report and the stocks report and look more long-term, is that inflationary bias that's been so helpful to the grain markets, that demand bias that's been so helpful to the markets here in 2014, is starting to give way, and it's starting to shape up, and what I'm talking about is the next 4 to 6 months, it's starting to shape up where we're getting back to weather drives you higher, but demand actually starts to drive you lower, and deflation starts to become another buzzword. I'm already starting to see that in some of the emerging markets. The emerging markets are turning a little more negative now in terms of fund activity.
Let's stay with demand. Can we look at the global marketplace in livestock? I had a listener, I believe on the web, call me about an hour before the program, wanted to know what the global livestock red meat market might look like and how that would impact, if at all, or offset any decreased usage which might be coming in the United States because of PEDV and or the lack of beef numbers here domestically.
That's a great point because, you know, this caller probably realizes that the energy market and the ethanol market, which was a good reason why the corn was able to stay positive today, is not going to be as powerful a market player as it has been in the last 6-7 years. So we are going to have to rely upon the hog and cattle and poultry guy again, and that's good news because that would be a solid demand base. However, that being said, I think to answer his question, globally the picture is mixed when it comes to the meat market. The global pork supply and the production levels I would consider adequate. I think we're starting to see China's demand peaking. The avian flu issue over there, the pork break-evens, an oversupply that's starting to show up would suggest to me that you're probably not in a great position right now in terms of global pork. That's why I think the PED virus is so beneficial to the futures market because it alleviates some of these concerns, but that could be a very short-term issue. Global beef, however, is real similar to the United States here this year. Mexico, Australia, Argentina, New Zealand, they're all pretty much in the exact same spot as the United States with smaller herds than normal and the fact that they need to rebuild. I think when I look at the overall feed export demand globally for U.S. Grain and oil seeds and meal, I think probably by the end of the second quarter you will have a peak in the feed demand. We may gain some weight by the hog market, but we're also killing less this year. And I think the broiler meat production especially has been real disappointing. January was down a little over 2%, almost 3% versus the previous January, and that was on slaughter down below 4% versus the previous year. That surprised me. It surprised the USDA. They should be building their flocks up here.
So when you take a look at this in the export market in particular, and you think of Asia, China, Japan both, and what they would import, are you concerned, for instance, that China said no to U.S. corn and then turned and went to Ukraine?
Yeah, I don't think that is as big a deal as the overall big picture that once China gets planted and the United States gets planted and Europe gets planted, then it really becomes a weather supply driven issue again. If you peak in ethanol demand and your global economy is starting to slow because of what Russia and the United States may do to one another, China is slowing down in some respects on purpose to get rid of their shadow banking industry. And this is where the copper and the beans, it's a very complex story, but essentially they're using copper and beans to finance real estate deals in a shadow banking industry. And that's not healthy, and the Chinese government's trying to stop that. Well, that relates back to the livestock sector. Do we have artificial meat demand out there that we may not need here later on?
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great weekend.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.